Welcome back to the Garden State Law Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Lau. Joining me today is Saber Commercial Litigator and Construction Litigator, Rob Nussbaum. Rob, thank you for joining us.
Pleasure to be here.
Today, Rob and I will discuss the pros and cons of hiring a day laborer. Rob, before we get into it, maybe you could tell us a little bit about yourself and your practice.
Sure. I am an attorney in the state of New Jersey. I went to the University of Pennsylvania undergraduate and graduated from Seton Hall Law School in 1987. I've been practicing law since 1987 and doing a lot of construction litigation, construction lien law, contract review, and drafting probably since the early to mid-1990s.
Now, I understand hiring someone as a day laborer is probably wrought with issues, but I don't know specifically what may be illegal or what may be even not recommended. Before we get into that, can you tell us a little bit about what is a day laborer? And if you are, let's say, a builder or a landscaper, where do people go about finding these day laborers?
A day laborer is exactly what the term says. It's a worker who works on a day-to-day basis, looking for jobs that are in construction, landscaping, home improvement, whatever. They are typically found at construction sites or near construction sites. There are many who hang out by construction supply stores like Lowe's or Home Depot. Some towns even have designated areas where day laborers can congregate, and then homeowners or employers, construction crews, can go and look for them and hire them for a day of work. There's also websites and social media, and word of mouth also helps people find work on a day laborer basis.
Okay, so the $100,000 question is really, is it illegal specifically to hire a day laborer?
It is not illegal to hire a day laborer, provided that the person, the day laborer, is legally entitled to work in the United States. What is illegal is for an employer to pay that day laborer cash or off the books in an effort to avoid paying taxes, unemployment, workers' compensation, Social Security deductions, and the like. That is illegal. But hiring the laborer per se is not illegal, and nor is paying the day laborer in cash. You can do that too. You just are required to keep the requisite records needed to document the work and the pay.
So I guess that brings me to my next question. How are you recommending, or what are the steps that you recommend to anyone who would consider hiring a day laborer to make sure that you're on the up and up?
Well, you have to remember that an employer who hires a day laborer still is subject to state and federal laws. That would be state labor laws, federal labor laws, minimum wage laws. You have to worry about taxes. So the tax code applies. OSHA safety standards applies. And most importantly these days are the immigration status of the day laborer. You're required under the law to complete a form I-9 that gets filed with Department of Homeland Security to document that the day laborer is entitled to work here.
So that brings up a good point about immigration. And when hiring someone, specifically, you may think, all right, is this person here legally or illegally? What do you recommend, or what are the steps that should be taken by someone who's hiring a day laborer when considering immigration law? Is this something you should ask specifically to the person that you're going to pick up, or what do you think you should do?
You definitely should ask, because as I said a few minutes ago, you are required to fill out the form I-9 that gets filed with the Department of Homeland Security. Since 1986, it has been illegal to hire illegal aliens, illegal workers who are here undocumented for jobs. And the I-9 is intended to keep people honest about that. It has to be filed within 3 days of when the day laborer is hired, and it has to be completed even if the day laborer is just working for one single solitary day. There are significant penalties that range from the hundreds of dollars to the thousands of dollars to the tens of thousands of dollars if you fail to maintain an I-9 form or fail to accurately record the information in the I-9 form. So I think what you have to do is verify that the day laborer, even if it's an immigrant, is here legally, if they're working pursuant to a green card or some other documentation that allows them to work in the United States legally. But you should not be hiring undocumented illegal aliens, or you're going to run afoul of the immigration laws.
So that leads well into my next question is, what happens if somebody gets hurt? So I know day laborers typically will be blue collar workers who maybe they are working for a landscaping company where they're doing manual work, or maybe they're working for a roofing company for a day or two because someone called in sick. So what are some of the considerations that employers should think about specifically in terms of what if a day laborer actually gets injured on the job?
Well, if a day laborer gets injured and is being paid off the books in cash illegally, chances are you're not going to have workers' compensation insurance. Workers' comp insurance typically protects the employee and the employer for personal injury claims that occur in the course of work. If you don't have workers' comp protection and an employee, even a day laborer, gets injured, you run the risk of being sued in a personal injury action. Because they're a day laborer doesn't mean they give up their rights to file lawsuits to protect their personal injury rights. So personal injury actions can often have greater compensation that might be available under the workers' compensation statute for permanency and temporary disability. So that's one risk. You also run the risk of a day laborer, if you tell him that they got hurt, you got hurt, and you don't protect them medically with either workers' comp insurance or paying their bills, you run the risk of them going to OSHA and reporting you for a violation, which could lead to an investigation, an audit, and significant penalties if they find unsafe work conditions at the work site, which gave rise to a personal injury.
So you had mentioned being paid off the books a moment ago, and I think that's another reason why people probably rely on day laborers, because they are paying people off the books, which is, I'm sure it's highly unrecommended. So what is your advice to a construction company, a builder, a landscaper, anybody who is hiring day laborers specifically because they want to pay them off the books?
Don't do it. And if you are doing it, document it. Because if the IRS comes and conducts an audit and looks at your records, looks at your employees, speaks to your employees, you could find yourself in a lot of hot water for tax fraud, for not keeping required records. And that could come with penalties, such as a lawsuit, penalties, criminal penalties, civil penalties, having to pay back taxes and interest. There are also criminal fines and criminal prosecutions, which could result in criminal penalties, including incarceration.
Okay, so main takeaways. Clearly, we need to be careful when we're hiring a day laborer, but what are some of the most important aspects of key considerations for hiring a day laborer that you'd recommend for really any business?
I would recommend doing things legally. It's not, as I said earlier, illegal to hire a day laborer. It's illegal if you're doing it for an improper purpose, such as to avoid paying taxes and insurance, unemployment, and the like. I think that to the extent that you can keep your documentation in order, that will go a long way to protecting you. I understand that people want to avoid these costs because it's expensive to maintain a payroll, but it's also expensive to pay penalties, go to jail, and have significant fines. So it's a cost-benefit analysis, and if it comes down to me, I always come out in favor of doing things legally and the right way.
Okay, thank you, Rob, for joining us. If anybody has questions for Rob, you can contact him at 973-645-4802 or rnussbaum@sabre.com. That's rnussbaum at sabre.com. Thank you to all those for listening and watching. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube and podcast channel, and we'll talk to you next time.